The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, KNSN, DJRD Broadcasting, Crawford Media Group, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody!
I've got sunshine on a cloudy day. When it's cold outside, I've got the month of May.
Here's what's coming up. Oh my, on today's experience, it's Dr. Dave's, that's right, Dr. Dave's Devotional Diamonds of the Day, also known as DDDDDs, where my daily devotions become some of our spiritual reflections. Sound effects placed throughout the show which have nothing to do with life, but Ecclesiastes chapter 3 teaches there's a time to laugh. The review of the Goofy News, which proves Jesus is coming back sooner than you think. Any moment, Lord, that would be awesome. Life lessons for our faith that we could actually use, but probably won't if we sit on our blessed assurance. Humor that will force you to think, why does this guy have a radio show? Here's your answer in one word. Because. Okay. Also, Bible trivia for fake and yet somehow real cool prizes, your phone calls, and more. Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. My name is Dr. David Spoon, and I will be your host for the next 5,400,000 milliseconds. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio. Here is the key to the show. We don't know what we're doing. We have no idea what's going to happen, that's for sure. And we don't care about that. But for the next few minutes, I want to talk truth with you. So here we go. We're asking questions about living life as a Christian. That thingy right there. Here it is. What area, now listen, because this is going to really apply. What area do we all need to have more grace in? Wow. What area do we all need to have more grace in? Wow. If you have an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, please don't let it die of loneliness. That's sad. Just reach out and give us a call. 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. When you call, 972-445-0770. You'll end up talking to Jammin' Jacob. Talking to Jammin' Jacob is like feeling confident that you have done your very best, prayed that it's blessed, and you're just going to let Jesus take care of the rest.
Aww. Thank you, David. Happy Wednesday.
Happy Wednesday. I'll let you know. I think you'll find this to be somewhat comforting. I actually forgot what day it was when I was driving in. So you're not the only
That's
one.
Supposed to be my job.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm driving in going, I know it's a day. I know it ends with D-A-Y. I'm just not sure what the other letters are. Okay. So just to let you know. Just make
yeah,
you feel
I remembered it right away, but pretty often when you're introducing me, I'm thinking in my head,
yeah.
Okay, right, it's Thursday. Okay, yeah.
That's what I was thinking. That's why that's so funny. Okay, here's the bottom line. You can reach out and call us. No, that's cool. Now, you can also text us, and then I'm going to tell you how you can email us, and then I'm going to tell you why. But let me do this first. Not only can you call us, so if you're in San Diego, it's 11:35. If you're in Denver, it's 12:35. If you're in Dallas, it's 1:35. If you're in Detroit, it's 2:35. If you're on the moon, you're probably not breathing unless you went up there with an astronaut suit. That's kind of what I'm thinking. Anyhow, you can call us at the 972-445-0770 number. You can also text us 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Here comes the non-professional, almost NPR voice.
214-210-8483. Are you watching the paint dry?
Anyhow, so also you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org, D-A-V-I-D, at hemustincrease from john330.org, because we're a nonprofit entity, corporation, existent people. Here's the bottom line. The bottom line is maybe you've got a prayer request and you want other people praying. Fantastic. Let's do it. And you think, well, why are you saying fantastic? I'll tell you why. Because God answers prayers. That's why. And so we want to have that opportunity to take our faith, combine it with your faith, and petition the Lord. Maybe you've got a praise report. The Lord has done something phenomenal. You know it. The scripture's clear that the redeemed of the Lord say so. When you share a testimony, what happens? God is honored. You are reinforced in what has happened in your own life, and other people hear it. They are blessed. Maybe you got something you just want to share. Something's on your mind. Something's on your heart. Got it. Did somebody call in the other day and just ask, you know, about the political structure? We just gave our response the best we can. We are here to encourage you type of show. It's Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Encouraging one another as we see the day of the return of Christ getting closer and closer. Okay, that's what we're all about, all right? So I do want to let you know I'm going to share a couple of things later on, but we are in a phenomenal portion of Scripture. And have you noticed that there's really not a lot of scripture that's not phenomenal? Have you figured that out listening to the show? It just all depends on somewhat where you're at and how receptive you are to that thing which the Lord is showing or teaching or communicating. It's kind of dependent, too, upon whether you've quieted yourself so you'll listen, or if you're just, like, got so many distractions you can't just keep a focus on it. Well, we don't want to be that way. We want to be a little more focused on what the Lord says. And the word of God is bread. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. It is as important. No, I should say this absolutely. It is much more important than bread. You can eat bread and die. You can eat the word of God and live forever. Wow, that's a big difference there, isn't there? Yeah, should have just said that in the beginning. Here we are, by the way, in Psalm 49. We are almost one-third of the way through Psalms. You know, you got to run there a year and a half, and then we'll get there. Here we go. Psalm 49, starting with verse 1. Hear this, all people. Give ear, all inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor together. My mouth shall speak wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall give understanding. I will incline my ear to a proverb. I will disclose my dark sayings on the harp. So there's something to start off with that I think is super duper important, especially understanding the people of the day. Psalm 49 verse 1 initiates with a universal proclamation emphasizing that God's favor does not discriminate between the rich and the poor. I just want to say this real quickly. People that are rich are not more blessed by God. In fact, that's actually the theology of the day of Jesus. People thought that if they were financially well off, well, by golly, that means God loves them most. And that is absolutely, positively false. An absolute lie from the pit of hell. It is true that the Lord does bless people here and there, but it is not a standard by which we evaluate God's favor. Again, and we said this before, and we'll say it again, Jesus was not exactly a billionaire. Thank you. And some of the most powerful people in the scriptures were not very wealthy. In fact, ironically, and I'll just say this, and you can just work on this in your own mind, Job really didn't become famous till he lost it all, did he? He was well known, but didn't become famous, didn't become a book in the Bible till he lost it all. Wow. And so we need to get away from this idea that there's some ideology that comes from God that says, well, if you are, you know, poor, God doesn't like you. So here's the proclamation. Here, this, all peoples, give ear, inhabitants of the world, both low and high. That's the powerful and the not powerful, the rich and the poor, everybody together. You have the opportunity to hear the wisdom of God, the truth of God. And the psalmist then asserts his commitment to impart wisdom and to understanding through proverbs and riddles. He questions the rationale. Oh, listen to this. This is going to blow your mind. Okay? Now remember, this psalm is from the sons of Korah, so it's not a David psalm. But the psalmist asserts his commitment to impart wisdom and understanding through proverbs and riddles. He questions the rationale behind fearing the days of evil, asserting that those who trust in the Lord have no reason to be afraid. What? Listen to what he says. My mouth shall speak wisdom, and meditation of my heart shall give understanding. I will incline my ear to a proverb. I will disclose my dark sayings on the harp. Why should I fear in the days of evil? What? We just had a caller yesterday asking about that, and there is stuff surrounding us all over the place, and it ain't fun. It's kind of a drag to hear most of the stuff that's going on. It's important to be connected to it. To the level you're connected to it, that is between you and the Lord and nobody else. And what we need to understand is we do not have to be afraid in the days of evil. Well, the days aren't exactly cheery and skittily filled right now, are they? The psalmist goes on to say, when the iniquity at my heels surrounds me, and those who trust in their wealth and boast in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother. In other words, that is not the solution. The solution is not wealth. Wealth does not answer every question now. The days are completely evil. But the key component is that we don't need to be afraid. And I've mentioned this multiple times, and we'll do it again because it helps me to hear it. And that is, fear has to do with something that's coming. If you're afraid of something that's coming because of something in the past, I'm not saying it didn't occur in the past, but the result is something that's in the future. Fear is always something that's anticipated. It's not an actual happening. It's a about to happening kind of thing. And what we need to be aware of is that when we operate in fear, then we're actually operating in this other place, which is a distrust in the Lord. So the psalmist goes, why should I fear in the days of evil? And take a look around. If you wanted to define for this country closer to the days of evil than in the past, we're pretty close. It's not too great. But why do I need to be afraid? I don't need to be afraid, though the mountains be removed from the and cast into the seas. Why do I have to be afraid? I put my hope in God. That's the anchor. And so what's important to understand, that, especially when you get into Hebrews 6, chapter 6, where it talks about the anchor, is our hope is the anchor to our soul. So what does an anchor do? You throw the anchor out over a boat. And I'm not talking about the huge boat, but, you know, you're in a boat sailboat, you put an anchor out, it keeps you so you're not driven about, driven into crazy places, you know, swirling, and just being beaten up back and forth. Hope is a stabilizer. Instead of being afraid, which is like the storms, the winds and the waves, and by the way, wind makes noise, waves moves you back and forth, which is why Jesus said to be still to the waves and be quiet to the wind. So the idea behind this is to understand that hope in God, it helps us stabilize when all around us is nutty cuckoo. That's what the psalmist is saying. He's like, listen, everybody, you got to hear what I'm going to say. This is the first thing I'm going to tell you. I'm not going to be afraid in the days of evil. Why should I be afraid? I'm not afraid. Why? Because the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man will do unto me. See, if the Lord is your helper, nothing can do the impacting of your eternity. God's gotcha. You think, well, I know, but I'm here for 80 years. Yeah, but you'll be there for 800 billion, and nobody can touch that. And so when we look at that, and this is what Paul's talking about in 2 Corinthians 4:17 and in Romans 8:17 and in that whole process, it's 8:14. It's somewhere around there. It's in the eights, okay? And he goes, like, look, it's not worthy to be compared to the graces that we're going to receive, the blessings we're going to enter into, the things that we're going to walk into. You can't even compare what you're going through right now to any of those. Because on the scale of eternity, everything falls short. Because eternity is where it's at. So what do you think Jesus said? Lay up treasures in heaven. Is there a reason Jesus said that in the Sermon on the Mount? Yes. Why? Because this is a 60, 70, 80, 90, 100, 110, 120-year journey. After this is another set of journeys, or another journey that has no end. Lay up treasures for that one. That's what he taught. That's his teaching. And you've heard me say this before, and I've had this argument with a psychologist, but it's okay. So, well, you can't be so heavenly-minded you're of no earthly good. Please be that way. That should be the greatest thing ever. Be so heavenly-minded you're of no earthly good, because then your heart is where the Lord is, and that means your heart is with the Lord. Now, how cool is that? Right? Why should I fear in the days of evil? But, Dave, I don't have enough. Your God has enough. Well, I know, but I need it in my checking account. Your God knows what you need. I know, but I want to write a check today. Your God knows when the check needs to be written. Stop telling God how to be God. Just say, yes, Lord. And what is it that Jesus did when they didn't have enough to feed all the people? What did he do? He looked up to heaven and he said, thank you for what we have, and blessed it, and even gave it away. He wasn't arguing or complaining about what he didn't have. He just asked the Lord to multiply what he did have. I'm thinking, you think that can happen? I have been in a situation where it's happened. So I know it's real. I just wish my faith was there all the time. You feel me? I bet you do. All right, we'll take a slowdown here. And we'll go into our first trivia question. That was a new sound I just decided to throw in. It's got nothing to do with anything. What did Samuel's mother bring him every year? Was it a basket of bread? Was it a game to play from home? Or was it a robe? What is it that Samuel's mother brought him every year? 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 18 through 19. Was it a basket of bread, homemade bread from mom? Was it a bunch of games from home? We want you to know that they were still thinking of you. Or was it a robe? Your answer again, 1 Samuel 2, 18 through 19. Let us understand. Let us understand. That if you want to reach out to us, you can call 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. Additionally, you can send a text, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. So what is it that Sammy's mom brought him every year? Was it a basket of bread? Was it games from home? Or was it a robe? 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 18 through 19 is your answer. In the meantime, we're going to send you to the website. On the website is some cool stuff. I will tell you that I'm going to talk about my project in the next 60 minutes, but I will tell you that the projects are going along smashingly until I lost all my patients. Yeah, I'm supposed to have patience because I'm a doctor. That's not working out very good, I just want to tell you. So I'll talk about that in the next little bit of time. But in the meantime, I'm going to send you to the website so you can be aware. I want you to be aware. There are many awesome things on the website. There's videos, there's audios, there's articles. Plus, if you have a prayer request or a praise report, there's a form for that. Plus, a place to give. Remember what were scriptures that we use for this? Luke 6:38, give and it will be given. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Let me say thank you to everybody who has given, and let me encourage people who have never given to do so if the Lord puts it upon your heart. If you can't give, don't worry. But I do want to express a deep appreciation for those that have helped sustain the ministry. The ministry only sustains by you giving. That's how it goes. We're not doing anything else. This is what we do. All right, back to sending you to the website so you can give. Check it out on hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
HeyMostIncrease.org.
Praise report?
HeyMostIncrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
HeyMostIncrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
HeyMustIncrease.org.
HeyMustIncrease.org.
Plop, plop, fizz, fizz. Oh, what a relief it is.
That's right. Don't you forget that. I have to tell you about my indigestion in the next 60 minutes. It was pretty bad, I gotta say.
I don't know. Do we really want to hear that?
Nah, I'm so bad about stuff like that. Like when I get on something, it's like I'm on it. Like when I was writing my papers and so on and so forth, I would stay up till 4:30 in the morning, 5, and I didn't care. I was like, nope, writing this, nope. You know, I just didn't care. Got to get it done. Then I would rewrite it. A little bit illness there. Okay, what did Samuel's mother bring him every year? Was it a basket of bread, games from the house, so he would feel connected to the house, or a robe/coat? 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 18 through 19 is your reference point, if you think you know. 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483 or send an email to david@hemustincrease.org. Back to the text we go. Let's pick it back up. This is so fascinating. Picking it back up at verse 6 after the psalmist says, why should I fear in the days of evil? Those who trust in their wealth and boast in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for himself. For the redemption of their souls is costly. And it shall cease forever if they're not redeemed. That he should continue to live eternally and not see the pit if redeemed. Here's the key in all of that. Here's what I want you to get. There's a warning that follows those that are fixated on wealth. Not all money is the root of all evil. No, it's not. The love of money is the root of all evil. Money is a tool. It should be used wisely. You are a steward of the money. You get a certain amount, whatever that is, however you get it, whether it's given, earned, or whatever, you are still a steward of it. It is not the money that is the problem. It is the people. Let me say this again. It is not the numbers that are the problem. It is the people who lie using numbers. It is not the study is a problem. It's the people who write the studies are often liars. That's the problem. So there's a warning to those that are fixated on wealth, especially those who have this weird, unwavering trust in their riches. It's not a condemnation of those using wealth as a tool, but a caution that reliance on riches cannot redeem others, let alone yourself. Finances, money, and wealth are incapable of redeeming a soul. And any church organization that says if you pay X amount, and then you shall receive this amount of forgiveness is bupkis. It's no good. We call shenanigans. Nope, that's not okay. And so he says this. He says, nor can they give a ransom for himself, for the redemption of their souls is costly. This psalm is a remarkable reference to Jesus Christ, underscoring the concept that redemption comes at the cost of the blood of Christ, and the blood that's offered must be pure and perfect in order to save somebody from the impending pit that is only understood in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. This verse vividly depicts the world heading towards destruction and emphasizing the need for people to board the lifeboat named Jesus to escape the impending drowning and doom of hell's heat and fire. And yes, Jewish people believe in hell. And yes, the Old and New Testament talk about it extensively. Those that say not have not read very much. That's all I can say. This portion tells us that the cost of our redemption is high. But that's the cost it cost. That's the cost that was paid for you and for me by the love of God himself through the life of Jesus Christ. That's cool. With that in mind and understanding how high that cost was, you do not have to be afraid if the days are evil, because God is in charge. Period. You know that fret and that worry you're doing? Stop it. If Jesus was in the room, he'd say, peace. Why peace unto you? Why is your heart so filled with doubt? That's what he'd say. All right, answer to the trivia question. Little Sammy, Samuel's mom, brought him something every year. Food, games, a robe. The answer is robe. It was a coat. Thank you very much. That's what he got all the time. A new little coat. Kind of nice. That's kind of nice. All right, if you're in San Diego, or if you're in Denver, or if you're in Detroit, go to hemustincrease.org. Hang out with us a little more. If you're in Dallas, just stay still. I'm going to take a short break and then come back. Don't go anywhere.
What is the David Spoon experience?
And God's just like, there's no room there. It's like, well, no. I can, you know, not vote for either kingdom. Well, let me get this straight. You're not voting for the kingdom of God. Therefore, you're also trying to be a supporter of the kingdom of darkness. How does that work? That doesn't work. And in lieu of that, you know, I had a discussion with my son. We were talking about preparation and being ready, because you never know when the Lord – you don't know when that trumpet's going to blow for you. You don't know at that moment where God's going to go, ding dong, time's up. And I said, you always got to be ready. He said, well, you can't always be ready. It's like, no, you always got to be ready. Matthew chapter 24, verse 42, be ready. Always be ready, for you do not know the day that the Lord will come. And that's not just from an eschatological point of view for life. That's for you individually. You got to be ready and watchful and aware, because this is kingdom stuff. And there's a kingdom being built to glorify God, and there's all the opposing kingdoms. And it's a pretty straightforward question. Which kingdom are you trying to support? That's the question. And if you say, well, I'm not supporting any kingdom, then you are opposed to the kingdom of God. Because you're either helping advance his kingdom or you're in opposition. And that's where Jesus split the line. And you think, well, that doesn't seem fair. We have a great word around this show that we like to use every once in a while, but with tons of love. Tough. It's like, it's not whether you think it's fair or not. You know, well, I don't think God, a God of love, would do it this way or this way. Too bad what you think. You're not God. That's not up to you. Well, that's just what the Bible says. So let me get this straight. So you believe that God can create the universe, but he can't write a book? Boy, that argument's going to get lost every single time. So my whole point in bringing this up is it's not a contradiction at all. You're either for in Luke 9, 49 and 50. You're either for the kingdom, advancing the kingdom, driving out demons in the name of Jesus Christ, trying to make declaration for the truth of God, or you're against the kingdom, whether you are verbally, physically against it, or whether you are verbally and physically doing nothing. There is no neutral. You're either a kingdom advancer or you're against the kingdom. And what's really hard, are you ready for your noodle to get baked here? Is the decisions that we make advance kingdoms. Do we consider our decisions before we make these decisions? Do we consider what kingdom we're impacting? Wow. Isn't that tough?
The David Spoon Experience.